Holy shit, that was a juicy podcast, man. Thank you guys all for this. Oh, fuck.
Legit.
I forgot to record. All right, let's start this one over, boys.
Just talking? What's the show about? It's about nothing. It's about nothing.
I just want these guys to know you got another thing coming, bitch. I'm still around.
Oh, yo, I think I'm officially out.
Yeah, what's your excuse?
I literally cannot run. My ankle's been busted for the last week and a half.
Either. So what's changed?
What's changed is now my foot hurts when I do it. Yeah, how long do you think sprained ankles take? Like, you guys are more athletic.
You just need some Tylenol and that's it, man. Tylenol, some hot compress, and then you're good to go.
I've been propping Advil still.
Just tape it up.
You can worse, like, you just go to your doctor, they'll give you that steroid Dika. That's it, all the inflammation down for the day, you're good to go.
No, I'm legit. You know what sucks the most is the day before I sprained my ankle, one of our boys messaged me saying, yo, I just signed up too.
Oh, that's so funny.
And I was like, yo, that's dope. And then
I'll get the name after. But how did you sprain your ankle?
I was longboarding.
Yeah.
I was practicing some moves. I was like, all right, I'm getting the hang of this thing. Let me try to get a little bit more mobile with this. So I started going a little faster. My kid fell off his bike. And then I was like, all right, let me go to my kid. And I was like, the distance between me and him is far enough that I'm going to skateboard to him. And so while doing that, I fell. He's on the ground crying. Sees me fall, starts laughing. And he thinks it's like a bit. He's like, thought I fell to like show him how to get back up from a fall, which I did. I got back up and he's like, oh, you're not crying. I'm like, I'm crying not to. It was quite painful.
Walked. Yeah. So the lesson here, viewers or listeners, is don't play with children's toys. Skateboarding is not for 40-year-olds. Leave it to the youth.
Well, now I'm going to just wait for this to heal up and give it ankle guards.
You need ankle guards, helmets, elbow pads, knee pads.
I mean, I'm not going fast enough for the helmet. I think I'm going to just get away with just elbow pads and pads. But it was and wrist guards probably. Yeah, so I'm going to just be a walking bubble on this thing. It was quite embarrassing, low-key.
Or maybe just not do it.
No, I think I've invested too much in an injury to not do it. Now I got to at least get decent enough at it that I can justify getting injured and... No?
No.
Or do I just take up golf like every other uncle of my age?
Take up golf. Look, I'm not totally, on the uncle bus. I still got hockey. I still got soccer. But golf is that calm, nice...
I'm trying to just say he's not an uncle.
I don't think golf's common at all. There's nothing calming about golf. I think it depends on who you go with. The few times I've gone golfing, I've legit really wanted to like kill someone, like throw them in like the water hazard or whatever it is. Because the people
I've gone to Robbie. He shows me his elitist ways.
Robbie's the guy who has a caddy.
Yeah. I've gone, and the gore behind us started golfing and putting their balls near us, and Robbie's like these fucking dicks. And he's like, I'm going to go give him a piece of my mind. Then he goes, oh, Jason. Oh, John. I know these guys fucking.
Is this a true story?
Like Gerald. It has to be named like a Gerald.
Yeah, or a Gerald. Yeah, they're all his buddies, man. He's like, oh, yeah, these are my buddies. Never mind. All good. I'm in the club.
I'm the last guy to do that.
You haven't started golfing yet?
No, man. Not this year. I didn't golf at all last year, actually. Surprisingly. Just time. Hopefully get out this year, though.
I think it's been like 8 years since I last touched my clubs properly. I did pre-COVID go to a fundraiser one. Or was that after COVID? I don't even remember when. I did go to a fundraiser golf thing, and that was embarrassing. People still remember it, though. They're like, yo, I remember you from that golf room. I'm like, what? Like, yeah, you totally missed your first shot. It was embarrassing. I was like,
shit.
People actually remember things like that, but maybe it is time to take up a new hobby.
Yes, sir.
Talking about hobbies. how we have like 20 things here that we can talk about. You think the Leafs are going to be golfing anytime soon?
Honestly, well, we're recording now. It was the second period of a 4-1 losing effort on their end, game four. This whole time, we've just been prepping for what we're going to say and go over the topics and just catching up. They've tied the game going into the end of the third.
Oh, so now you're like, why am I podcasting? I'd rather be watching this game.
I mean, fucking no, I'm committed to this. But I you know what? I don't think...
They tied the game?
Yeah, they tied the game.
It's 2 minutes. Why are we doing this podcast?
Yeah, I don't know. But it's happening now. Fuck it.
Now you're too deep in.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't think they have the gear. That gear that champions have. I've been killing all the hope amongst all my friends, except the ones who talk shit to me. Fuck them. But all my Leaf fan friends, with them, I have the open, honest, heart-to-heart that, guys, this team is not built to win. They're built to be amazing, amazing during the season, but it's not complete yet. Not for a cup run. Let's see.
I mean, I had them going all the way, and I don't even watch hockey. I was just, like, looking at the stars, and I was like, you know what? I feel it. I feel like this is the year you guys deserve something good. So I'm kind of going for you.
That's weird. This is so weird.
I mean, I'd be honest. I'm just trying to keep it real with you, man. I think this is the Leafs year, based on nothing but except wanting to see your happiness. And if not, I'm going to just laugh at you guys for sucking again. I got no skin in the game this year. Talking about no skin in the game, I'm looking at this whole other... Diljit Coachella. Is that a big one?
That's a big deal. That was a big deal. Did you guys watch it? My wife screen recorded it live. Like, she was screen recorded on her phone. She made sure that I saw it. Like, watched it all again with her.
She did realize it was being done on YouTube and you can go back and just click it.
Yeah, but she said it's going to be on YouTube like 3-4 days later and she didn't want to wait.
No, but you can go back and rewatch the lives.
True fan.
Really? Okay, she didn't know that. She told me that they're going to like actually edit and everything, put up his segment in a couple of days.
I got you.
But she'd rather have it on her phone. She's nuts.
So how was it? I didn't see any of it, but I saw like clips afterwards. What are your thoughts?
Look, if you're a big fan of him, like my wife, great. You know, he killed it. If you're just proud of more Punjabi music his nowadays, then yeah, man, he's representing. It's great. If you are like a hardcore, you know, Khalistani, then it's like the jab under the skin that you enjoy with the G repping Punjabis out there. But he had two performances and he did something different each time. But before I get into it, I don't know, you guys give me your thoughts.
Robbie, as a guy who actually went to his concert, what were your thoughts? Did you see it?
I said just bits of it, but yeah, it's a big moment. I don't see all the hoopla, but I mean, it is a big moment. It's all Punjabis in the audience anyways, right? Those rich Californian kids. But it was pretty cool that he was like, I think it was number one stream video, like number one performance for a while on their website.
Do you think Coachella is going to be like, yo, we need to get more Punjabis on? Because if he's getting these kind of views from around the world.
He's different though, isn't he? Wouldn't we say he's in a different echelon in terms of Punjabi singers now?
Yeah. And the style of music he makes, the closest guy is maybe Karan Aujla. Maybe. But he's just not as big.
I saw some clips that I thought was pretty interesting. What I thought was interesting about, because you mentioned it, like the whole Khalistanis and their views. These days, if you're pro Punjabi or Khalistani, there's no like... That entire world's been like... Okay.
It's weird.
If you're Punjabi, you're just called a slummy.
No. Yeah. But like Diljit.
Today, there's an all Canada-wide warrant on some Dominic Dalal guy who like apparently allegedly killed his ex or some shit like that.
That was the gas station shooting.
Exactly. And I just happened, I don't know why, I just looked at the comments underneath like the appeal police release. And it's like, he's a dirty Khalistani. He's in a gurdwara. Please check the gurdwara. He's there. They support terrorists and killers. Like, oh, God. He's an average Yo Punjabi.
Twitter's gotten wild with that stuff. But like, Diljit, one of the interesting things was for a while, people were shitting on him. They're like, he's not using his platform to advocate for what's going on in Punjab right now. Then this was like last month when, you know, the whole Punjab Bund was going on. And then during this performance, he was like, you know, Punjabi Ponch ke Coachella. And that got like everyone like, yeah, he said Punjabi, not freaking Indian. And then
but he's never said Indian.
Yeah, but like
Punjabi don't say Indian.
Yeah, like know. he's always said Punjabi. He never says Indian in his gaane. Like,
but yeah, I mean, in the polarizing times we had, that was enough to like get everyone rooting in.
It's
something that we've always done as Punjabis that only now recently has taken focus in the rest of India when they're realizing, wait, these fuckers say they're Punjabi. I remember at the end of March, I was in BC for a day and my Uber driver from Sri Lanka was like, how come Punjabis refuse to say they're Indian? I was like, it's not a big deal. Texans say they're Texan, not American, right? It's the same thing. We're big personalities and that's all it is. It's part of our identity, right? Look at Texans, the most patriotic Americans that they are. If you look at the army or who's going to defend that country, is those guys, right, with their shotguns. Same thing with Punjabis. If you're going to get trampled over by China tomorrow, it's going to be Punjabis on the wall. And they'll say they're Punjabis.
But then there was that...
But I mean, look, Gujaratis take their pride, Bengalis take their pride. But the minute a Punjabi stands up, then it's a problem, right? Look, Quebec's a great example of that. You know, they don't go Canadian first, they go Quebecers. So, I mean, I don't see why. I just think they use it as a talking point.
But you know, the hoopla started during Diljit's first performance. I think it was last week. And then this week was his second one. And the second one, I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if this was like planted, but he's like, oh, kidda Punjabi, oh, this and that. And then he's like, some girls in the crowd is holding up an Indian flag. And she's like, oh, dekho mere desh da chanda. Kisi kudin mere desh da chanda phadya. Just to like give some, I guess, some homage to, to where he is from. He's from India. And I guess that might have been like the subtle, like, hey, look, I am Indian. But you're still boosting Punjabi music and it is Punjabi
culture. I feel like you missed that one, though. Because the quote I saw was, he said, Oh, mera desh ni.
No, Oh, mera desh.
Because that was the one that everyone shared on Twitter, was him saying, Oh, mera desh ni. And everyone was like, this is really going to piss people off. And he's like, I'm not here to... He's like, music is universal. I don't belong to just one country.
I don't know about the first performance. In the second performance,
no, this is the second performance. This was the big thing that went viral this week because, you know, this is really going to piss Indians off because he said, Oh, mera desh ni.
I wonder if that's like some AI shit because what I heard on Suki's live screen performance, like, it was Oh, mera desh.
Like, I feel like you heard what you wanted to hear there. Or both.
Nah. I think our side.
Do you think he's political in this matter?
I think he tries to remain as apolitical as he can because, like Jordan, even conservatives buy his shoes.
I mean, look, I can't fault him if he is walking the line because he stuck his neck out the most during the farmers' protest. And you know, if he doesn't get behind religious causes, that's fine by him. He doesn't have to, but he does get behind Punjabi ones. And the farmers' protests, we talked to death. It's one where there's intersectionality between Punjabis and Sikhs, where views aligned. So he was huge then. So he shows definitely some respect to his people, for lack of a better word or term. He shows respect to his people. He is patriotic to us. So he holds it down. How far he holds it down is up to him, his business. He has to feed his family too, right?
And I'm sure they're well fed. But there was another thing that came out today where...
all about that money.
In job, eh? Hey, job.
Hey man, it's not a job. He's paid. I'm happy for it, dude. I'm happy for everyone who's paid. There was a thing that came out today. I don't know if you saw this TikTok where it was like some Indian chick and she's like, you know, he needs to do a better job of representing Indians as a whole because he's talking about light-skinned Indians. But most Indians are dark-skinned. I think he needs to get away from these colorist lyrics and acknowledge more the encompass all of India in his lyrics and not just the light-skinned ones. You guys see this clip?
No.
I saw tweets when he did perform his first song, and they came out like, oh, you know, he's singing songs about the caste system. Isn't the whole country run on this caste system? It's hilarious, right? They're complaining, oh, the song's a caste system and there's colorism. Country has a cream called Fair and Lovely.
Yeah. What do you think is happening in Bollywood? Their biggest cinema industry doesn't even have like dark skinned Indians up front and center.
But criticize him, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, big deal. I think, I don't know, do you think they're going to bring more Indians on stage, more Punjabis? Or do you think they're going to get some backlash saying, okay, we need to balance this out? And
I mean, what other pop star is there in the. I'm ignorant to it, but who's on the level of Diljit in India? And Bollywood actors don't count because they're not singing the songs. They just
lip singing.
Lip singing.
Yeah, right? I would bet on this that generally is considered that Punjabi music is better produced than even Bollywood now, or Hindi music in general. The production quality, the everything, it's the total package is right up there with what we have in the West with hip hop and house. So they've really taken off, and that's why we're seeing the success. That's why we got, you know, that Sidhu track with Burna Boy.
I mean, there's a bunch of crossovers. I mean, even after the Coachella videos, Diplo and Diljit were
in the studio.
Yeah.
So
I think that'll be interesting to see. I feel like Diplo's mostly EDM, or how it is thinking. Yeah, EDM, right?
No, he's a mix. He does like Major Lazer as well. Different sounds. He lived in India for a long time, man.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. I did not know that. But
yeah, a huge rave culture in Goa.
Do you think this opens up more big music tours that invite Diljit out? Because we heard the things before Sidhu died, Drake was wanting to work with him and stuff. And Drake has his like big show here in the summer. I could have seen him eventually bringing Sidhu out there just to like do a cross thing.
What's Drake's show in Toronto called?
OVO Fest.
Oh shit, nailed it.
Oh my gosh, shit that knows pop culture. No, that one. Yeah, I know my shit sometimes. Right. I'm just wondering if there's gonna be more big music shows where they, you know, they're like, yo, let's try to bring some of this Punjabi stuff back, because there is some crossover happening.
Yeah, I think it's gonna go that way, man. Probably the next 5 years, probably see it more often. I mean, there are always these rumors, even last year before Sidhu passed away, or was it year before, they're like, oh, will Drake have Sidhu out? People would say that, and that's pretty crazy. Even if for a rumor, that was pretty crazy, but cool, like, because that's a trajectory, right? That's where we're going. So let's see, man.
But on the whole music thing, do you guys see this thing with Karan Aujla?
Oh, the wedding performance?
The wedding performance with Bishnoi's brother.
How do you say his last name? Everybody says it. Bishnoi?
Bishnoi. That's how I heard it. I heard someone call it Bishnoi. I'm like, that seems like the funniest way to say it. I don't know. Is it Bishnoi? Bishnoi. It's spelled like Bishnoi.
I think it's Bishnoi, yeah.
Yeah.
They're a sect. They're like a subsect or something like that.
But yeah, so like that thing came out, and obviously everyone's like, well, what's going on here? And then
give context, what came out?
So what came out was a video of Karan Aujla at a wedding. He was doing a bit of a song, and someone pointed out, hey, the guy that your, you know, arms wrap around, he's wanted in Sidhu's murder.
No, his brother.
No, but I heard he himself is also a fugitive, and he's wanted in connection to that murder.
Yeah, he's wanted as well.
He's also wanted in that connection to
the fugitive. He's a fugitive, but he's not wanted in the murder.
I heard. Okay, so fugitive, he's there, and they're like, well, that came out. It was a popular Punjabi journalist who pointed that out. Punjab on things, Sandeep Singh. And that triggered a whole, hold on, you know, what's going on here? Karan Aujla released a statement shortly after saying, this is stupid. Listen, I get invited to a lot of weddings. I turn a lot of them down because, you know, they're too much headache. You know, in this case, it just ended up being one that I went to. We don't know everyone there. I didn't know who was with me or who was around me. We don't do full name checks, all this, that, you know, I can't be held accountable for who shows up in these videos or pictures because there's just so much happening that I'm ignorant to. Sounds like a pretty plausible thing.
Nah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hold on. You mean the guy that you were in several other pictures with is over the course of several weeks? You didn't know who he was?
You always know who the money is in the room, right? I mean, if you're at a wedding, you always know who the money is, right? So,
and then they're like,
he's obviously had run-ins with these people. And on, he sings songs about drug dealing. Like, why are we surprised? It's part of his...
But that story gets even deeper because it turns out the groom's also a fugitive.
Yeah.
And so now the cops know where these guys are. Maybe they always did. I don't know if there's like an extradition case.
Maybe they're in on it.
But yeah, and then it's kind of like people are like digging through his past and they're like, this seems to be the crew that you tend to run with. And then it kind of came out. Yeah, all singers, you know, they try to, there's some sort of connection to gangsters and stuff. They're like, Sadhu was no angel. He was involved with gangsters also. And they're like, to a certain extent, they do it just to avoid, you know, entrapment cases or whatever. Like, they're going to be extorted by these guys if they don't. So they just bring him on his crew. And that's very similar to, like, the rap scene. People talk about how if you're a rapper, you know, if you go to certain cities, you got to pay off certain gangs for protection or just so that they don't mess your show up. So people are like, you know, these Punjabi singers have the same sort of fate where they're on, they got to pay the hand to protect themselves.
Only the ones that sing about gangsters and being gangsters. Only those guys.
Do you think Diljit
doesn't? And all that shit is a huge cop out, man. I've had this debate actually since this news came out quite a bit. And no matter how anybody twisted it, Garnaut is in the wrong 100%. He said that he was invited to the wedding because it was a wedding of a close friend. And he said, I wasn't the only one there. Sherryman was there as well. But he's the only one getting dragged. But so he pointed that out. The Sherryman was invited by the same person and, you know, by the host. He said host, sorry. So I just imagined that means groom. Anyways, I don't know who's at these weddings. But if you're so close to someone that... You know, you're a big star, but because someone requested that you come attend their wedding, personally, you're showing up, then you know what their crowd is, especially if, like, this guy is a criminal too, the groom, right? You know what their crowd is. So if you're friends with these people before they killed Sadhu, that's fine. You know, like, it is what it is. It's part of the industry. But being friends or being associated with them after they killed Sadhu, when they're persona non grata, it's, you're making a conscious decision that, you know, fuck it. A year has passed. This is reality now and this is my camp. And, you know, you're pretty much shitting on his grave. It's disrespect and, he should be treated harshly for it, man. He probably won't be. But
you actually have a side on this, right? Your opinion is pretty, you're just like, this is like the East Coast, like, West Coast shade.
I'm listening to him like, wow, Randy's really focused today.
It's such a cop-out that I don't know who's in the crowd with me, but you do. If you've ever been to these wedding shows, wedding shows, like these, where these performers are singing, they don't let any random fucking guests get on stage. It'll be the main bande of the grooms and they're on stage, okay? So, it's too bullshit for me to believe that he didn't know who this guy was, who his brother is, and what they did to Sadhu. I think as soon as the singer dies, everybody, all his colleagues and everybody of his cohort would know what crew is behind it, who to avoid, why it happened, if that is the story, right? Like, he was killed by gangsters. So you can't plead ignorance. It's too bullshit. I see right through it. Tell me I had no choice. Like, these are people I have to pay. Fine. But don't tell me I didn't know.
But you're not going to say that. No, you're not going to be the one saying, hey, these guys are trying to kill me if I don't show up.
Whatever. Like, just don't give me that bullshit of like, hey, it was an accident. Like, fuck off. That's all I got to say.
Strong words.
Robbie, I feel like you're kind of like in, you're like,
I don't know, man. Yeah, well, I kind of agree with what he said. It is a cop out. Not a surprise that most of you guys. I mean, look, anytime these guys come to the West, Canada, U.S., usually guys sponsoring them or doing these shows, or the money's always a bit suspicious. That's all I gotta say. They surround themselves with these kind of people from the reasons why. Maybe they're being possibly extorted, or maybe it's an easy payday, right? So to act like he didn't know who was there in a small family function, you know, of people you have. I think he had his arm around him too, right? Like he's hugging him.
I don't recall now. Yeah, maybe.
In the picture, it looked like he's hugging him. I'm like, yeah, you kind of know who they are, right?
He definitely was in the background, no matter what it was. He wasn't like a guy who's in the crowd with his face in the back, I'm here. No, he was like, yeah, this is me on stage next to Carnagela, who's my guy, or I roll with him, and that's what it was.
Do you think do you think we give drug dealers a pass in our community?
Yeah.
Yeah, huge.
I think it's wild that we do. Because we come across a community that's very much about not being for it. Everyone tells their kid, like, I don't want you associating with this kind of stuff. But at the same time, everyone knows who these people are in the community and who these people are in their families too sometimes. And it's just kind of like, whatever.
Until it's your kid, he takes the drugs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of...
Then it's... Yeah.
But that, I don't know, man. I'm not surprised that happened in the U.S. and that these guys in the U.S. U.S. has some, like, whack culture like that.
You think that's... I would have thought, like, in Canada would have been way more prevalent.
Where gangsters are on the lam here and... No.
I would think B.C. especially. Toronto, every now and then I'm introduced to people and promoters. And like, yeah, this guy runs this or that.
Yeah, but think about the transport where it's coming from. Right? From Mexico upwards.
But a lot of the transportation I always heard was coming out of Canada. It was the Canadian truckers that I know that were like always being implicated in this kind of stuff, or it was being associated with.
Yeah, they're also tied up with U.S. truckers, right? Yeah.
And then BC, obviously BC's gang culture doesn't even need too much discussion to get into how deep that stuff goes. I mean,
yeah,
that's
One distinction is that I can't remember the last time some gangster is on the run from India and is hiding out in Canada. US, it happens quite often, but not in Canada. So, again, that's something like I strictly think of when I think of US disease. I think, hidden in them are these gangsters from out there who are living fulfilling, happy, money-filled lives without any recrimination or whatsoever, you know. So yeah, I'm not surprised that this happened in the States, this incident, and not here.
What were your thoughts when he threw Shetty Mon under the bus? Do you think Shetty Mon's like in that same clique now, or is it just hey yo, talk shit about this guy too?
You know what? At least Shetty Mon didn't take a fucking picture with him. That's so straight up. Even if he's like, fuck, I gotta show up, do my thing. Like, he didn't take a picture with him. These guys, artists and politicians, okay. Once you're seasoned, you're slimy in the sense that you can wiggle yourself out of any situation you do not want to be in. You can't entrap these guys in a hotel room with like two girls, a lot of cocaine, and cameras around, because they're going to walk into the room 30 seconds before it even happens. They're like, fuck, something's wrong. My spidey sense is off. They're going to book it. Okay. They have this like sixth sense that they've developed. Every artist has that. So if they're in a room where they shouldn't be, they're going to avoid pictures. They're going to be bitching out their fucking manager for having them there in the first place. They're going to have someone create an emergency to get the fuck out of there. They're going to have a sore throat. They can't get on stage. They're going to do something. Shetty Mon has that fucking season grace, all right? He's a fucking goat.
Man, talking about gangsters in America, though, you see the fact that the first Sacramento Nugget Kirtan had like this inter-gang shootout.
That was crazy.
At the Nugget Kirtan. Literally, in the Gordora, one guy's shot, There's videos coming out where people are like just hold pressure. They're tying the stata around him, trying to keep the blood from coming out. Then you see the CCTV footage where of like how just calm and collected that shooting was. Like, fuck.
I mean, look at the US over the last 2 weeks. The string of shootings have been just shocking. So, not surprised.
I mean, so Wednesday or Thursday, Friday, typical.
Yeah, typical. Why not another kick, Ethan? Throw that in there too.
Yeah.
Love your hole? Sure, why not? Like, it's just.
I always thought the gangster stuff was the shooting stuff, like the crazy gangster Punjabi stuff was Surrey. That was BC's thing. That was what they were known for. Like the, you know, shooting the guy at the friggin' in the daylight in front of a hotel just to send a message to his crew, the press conferences, you know, all that kind of stuff. I always thought that was the BC gangster thing.
No, but the better Gurdwara fights now are in America, like committee fights. Those are better. Those are in like Canada's done now.
Entertaining ones, the more entertaining
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, the ones where like there's sticks and like beatings and shit there, those are happening in the States. But this is a whole other level, right? This has nothing to do with the Gurdwara politics whatsoever. I had a cousin in the crowd and I was like, yo, what's going on? And she's like, yeah, it's fucking wild, yo. And she's from Brampton and who got married and moved there recently. She's like, yeah, it's fucking wild, yo. Someone, there's a shooting, but this is like 15, 20 minutes into the shooting being live on the internet. She's like, people are already saying, you know, it's a gang thing. It's not a Gurdwara thing. And she's like, the people who did it got caught and we're moving again. There was a small break and now we're going to start moving again. So I guess it diffused pretty quickly. But yeah, man, it's just punk ass kids.
You think our culture, our religion, our, not our religion so much, but like, our culture in the West and like the way we're bringing up kids is just so skewed that they think this stuff's like, there's no code to this stuff. Or do you think it's always just kind of been there and now it's just hitting the fan with, you know, just
what do you mean?
Circumstance.
I don't get the, what's the question?
I guess the question is do kids these days lack code? If these are kids, cause they don't sound like they're people our age, they're younger guys. Is it just a lack of like respect for what's going on and they're bringing it into like the Nagar Kirtan instead of just keeping it outside? Or
I remember being like at Dixie Malton and you have crews like, you know, at Diwali or Visakhi, and two crews will be at the Gurdwara that don't get along outside, but it's sacred ground and everybody respects that. So you'll stare at each other, maybe say, I'm going to fuck you up tomorrow. But that's it. Like, no one throws, no one pushes. They keep your distance because that's the community spot. That's not where you have beef. It's holy ground. So obviously it's lost, man. If these kids thought that, let's take a shot at this kid during the Nagar Kirtan, that's pretty effed. Keep that for Halloween or some shit.
Robbie, any thoughts
on? Robbie's like, fuck this.
You're like dumbasses.
Robbie's at the end of a long fucking road trip.
I don't know, man. It's I think that you could say there's a loss of connection between the new generation and the traditions that were passed on from our parents, or what you're calling the code.
The Toronto Maple Leafs just won in overtime.
Yeah, no, so I was looking at the score.
This is really I'm sitting here with you guys. Oh my god.
This is a good sign. This shows that, again, you need to do this next time again to see them turn this thing around. You just can't watch the game.
He is watching the game. Look at him.
I'm going on Twitter right now. This is crazy. let's go back to the Maple Leaf topic. Fuck these kids and fuck California. Fuck American dissies.
I got something. Talking about Twitter, you see the thing about Twitter tanking?
Yo, it is. Yo, everything fucking Elon Musk is tanking, man. Twitter is fucking broken all the time.
Okay, but what do you mean by tanking? Like, the stock?
Blue check shit is actually retarded now. I can't fucking make sense who's who.
Did you ever care?
Well, now every time I see like a celebrity or news account or something that you have a blue check, now I trip out for a second. Is it real or is it like a fake parody account?
Well, one of the interesting things that happened was he made this whole fuss about, I'm going to get rid of everyone's blue check mark. That everyone's going to be equal. If you want the blue check mark, pay for it. And so a lot of celebrities said, well, I ain't paying for that shit. I don't care about that much, you know, about this vanity type thing. And then when a lot of celebrities didn't do it and people didn't go rushing to get the blue check marks, Elon switched it up and said anyone with above 1 million followers automatically gets a check mark. So then celebrities are like, what the hell? We got the check mark. And they're like trying to tell their fan bases and all fan bases, we swear to God, we didn't pay for this shit. And Elon's like, yeah, you know, I'm paying for a few of them. At first he was just trying to troll them, I guess, but he switched up and said, yeah, maybe it wasn't a smart idea to just get rid of all of them. And now some celebrities are like, well, now you're defaming us. This is defamatory. We're just insinuating that we paid for this. This is hurting our image. So we want, you know, we want to change it up. He's basically edited and doing everything he kind of just does, but in a way that creates a big mess.
It's, I don't know. It would, between Twitter and his rocket ship blowing up, he's like catching a lot of L's, man. It's pretty fucked.
The rocket ship was interesting too, because apparently, this is what I was reading, is he really, really, really wanted the rocket ship to launch on April 20th.
Yeah, as a big joke.
As you know, it's going up on 420.
So it was supposed to happen on the Monday. They scrubbed the launch because they found like in the gas tank, the fucking gas had like crystallized or some shit. So they scrubbed the launch. Then again, on the new launch day, I think it was Thursday, they're counting down. They stop at 40. Okay, they stop at 40 seconds and they're like, yo, something's fucked. I don't know. I don't think it's disclosed what it was. Oh, no. There's something wrong with the rockets. They have like 8 rockets around it. And if when it took off, you only see like 5 or 6 are like firing, 2 or not, right? And it's going up and it was a success. Like it got off the fucking ground, but it's supposed to detach. But it's not. It's not detaching. It just fucking kept going up. So they're like, all right, fucking self-destruct, auto-destruct, you know, fucking Picard. You know? It says the computer self-destruct. 3, 2, 1, boom. Anyways, I'm going off on a fucking tangent. But the point of the story is, Elon caught another fucking L because his rocket probably shouldn't have launched that second time, but he had to have it on April 20th. And the fucking structure where they lifted off from, the concrete chunks blew off and fucking started hitting shit. It's not supposed to happen like that.
They're like, he almost caused like a giant gas leak underwater where one of the concrete things hit. That,
yeah,
you know, it wasn't clear to go that far out, and whatever math they did was wrong.
Particles from the destroyed rocket ship hit the ground, like actually hit houses down below. They didn't cause major damage. So, yes, far enough, still. So
SpaceX is tanking. Tesla, I heard, caught a nail too recently. Like they underwhelmed on sales the last quarter. So that was also taking another hit. It's his brand is just so tainted right now. There was another one that was, he said, everyone keeps this rumor alive that, you know, my family got rich off this emerald mine. You know, there's no proof of it. Nothing like that. And then his dad's like, what do you mean there's no proof of it? I can prove it. His dad came out and said, I got all the proof you need.
Okay, hell.
Is he tainted? Is he cursed?
No,
yeah,
I mean,
but it's fanboys. It's fanboys love him, man. He's their mahapush.
He's a babaji.
But he's
on that line.
Can anyone be so wrong but still be so right?
No, people are calling him out. People call him out that he's wrong all the time. They just recognize that he's a creative genius, and if someone from the private sector is going to get us out to space anytime soon, it'll probably be him. You got to respect that.
Wasn't the Virgin Atlantic guy the one who was trying to originally do the
but then they fucked up their launch too pretty bad. So, and they're not as well funded as SpaceX.
There was another recent thing.
I shares in fucking Virgin Galactic, trust me.
You're like... There was also a recent thing where Elon was trying to like jump on the whole AI is moving way too fast. We got to stop AI. Only to like 2 weeks later say, hey, I'm launching a new AI endeavor. That's going to be...
You can't beat him, join him, right?
Yeah, they're like, is he really against AI or was he always just trying to get his foot into the AI race, that he just wanted everyone to like take a minute break so that he could catch up a little bit.
I mean, aren't his cars basically AI anyways? They were going that way.
They're going that way. But the Y model, is coming up. 20% drop in price. You get the federal subsidy now.
Still won't buy it.
Yeah, they're pretty poorly made.
I do want an electric car, but Tesla's so, the brand is just so weird. And I always heard the actual car design is always a little flawed. Like, there's just oddities about every single one of them. Like, the design process just isn't down.
It's the engineering process, man, or the manufacturing process. You can't match the build quality of car companies that know how to make cars for hundreds of years, right? So they look cool, but if your roofs are flying off and things are loose, you know, it's the price point. You're paying as much as for like a Mercedes S-Class as one of these Teslas. And the thing's built like a paperclip, right? Just falls apart. I'd be pissed, right?
No, we got a fucking. I'm too excited.
All right, one last
thing. All right, and why he decided to give himself up during Coachella and Diljit fucking performing?
Was it during that?
Huh?
Was it during
at the same time? It was at the same time. Diljit's performing, and at the same time, I'm seeing and fucking the Leafs are playing. He should have known. And at the same time, he gave himself up. Come on.
Yeah, but his wife got detained. Isn't that kind of the catalyst situation?
So she didn't get detained. She got rejected from flying out. She was trying to...
I thought she didn't get taken into custody?
No, she wasn't detained. She was kind of put on the no-fly list when she got to the airport. Like, oh, yeah, you're not allowed flying out. And, you know, even though she had, like, a British citizenship and British passport, it was just kind of like, yeah, sorry. They said you're still someone of interest for questioning in this situation. That's one thing I read, which I'll be honest, I might catch flack for this. It doesn't surprise me that that's the case. Like, when they're like, yeah, she wasn't allowed to fly, I was like, why did she think they just like this thing's still not resolved?
Because it's India and you're not surprised, but not like, yes, she deserves to be held back.
No, it was never really she deserves to be held back. It just, right.
You're
saving me.
When people put a fatwa on you or something like that and try to kill you, I don't want that to happen.
I appreciate that.
She didn't deserve it.
But it didn't surprise me. I was like, I mean, did it surprise anyone? Because I know a lot of rage came, like, we can't believe that, you know, they're not letting a British citizen fly back home. And I'm like, yeah, all right, you know, your passport.
That's hell for the UK, and they need to do a better job protecting their citizens. They're pretty much bending over and taking it from India with both cheeks up in the air.
I feel like a lot of countries in Canada.
Juggy's the same. How long has he been in prison now?
Year and a half, 2 years now.
No, four, bro. No, I think
four. It's really four. Yeah. Oh yeah, it was the year before they actually even said formally gave him even a reason. Was that a thing?
Pre-COVID, this guy.
Yeah. So
he said he's going to get out when possibly get out when he's like 72 or something like that.
It's kind of crazy that, and he's never been put on trial for it.
Yeah.
Well, his trial hasn't started. His trial hasn't started.
But is there even a trial? Like, what's the... Like, I don't...
They're, like, eventually going towards that with this fucking India. But... to be honest, though, like, their trials are like that. It's not surprising. It's not even, like, extra mean to him. They're just that fucking slow all the time. It's bad.
But, yeah, why are these countries... Why is the West? Why is the UK? Why are Canada so, like, okay, yeah, we shouldn't have done that. Maybe... You know,
because that's one of the few growing economies in the world, and they're the largest population sometime this week. Largest English speaking population in the world.
So they have zero influence, you think, over them?
One of the most educated fucking populations in the world, and their consumption's off through the roof. So, yeah.
Like, so they control.
There's a financial nugget there for everyone.
Just say Jai Hind by now, man. You said so much.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying they are a player on the big stage for a reason, but it's still pretty bad when sovereignty is a big deal, man. You can't give up your sovereignty.
But I feel like countries like UK and Canada, and I don't know if America would be bending over so quickly because they have an image to protect. But letting your citizens get punked openly like this isn't a great look.
Yeah. I'm always wondering when I'm going to get detained next time.
Least a detainable person here. But yeah, so the way I'm ripballing.
Kind of a big deal, guys.
The way it all went down, I thought was pretty cool, though. Like, you know, he did it on his terms. When they tried to flip it, the script on it, saying, "We finally caught him." He's like, "No, you didn't catch him. He told you where he's going to be, what time to show up, went, sat on a Gordora stage, thanked everyone for coming out. You know, went downstairs, did Jopi Saib, and then went outside and said, here we go, let's go." He did it on his terms.
Yeah, my family is there. Our parent is close to Rode. So you're having some discussions with people from there. I was told that, like, yeah, you know, he had this pre-planned, everybody knew about it, and even cops knew that he's going to give himself there. I think it was kind of some sort of deal or something. So even the people at the Gordore, there were people from local Sangat, but there were also people from the government sitting there too, watching all this happen. And they brought in people to kind of suppress how far his message got out to, and not to make a big spectacle of like hundreds of people or thousands of people showing up.
But do you think a lot of this was just a failure of like, you know, he made this request to Akal Takht and SGPC. I want you guys to, you know, I feel like you guys need to act on some of these things you're talking about and, you know, get them to free all these youth, you know, get them to listen to your demands about the NSA, do a sort of other calls. And when Akal Takht and SGPC kind of said, yeah, okay, we, you know, we're working on this, it's a work in progress. And
that sounds like corporate speak.
It very much was overall, right? Like, yeah. The response he got to what he wanted from the comb was very, yeah, we're working on it. It's a work in progress. It's definitely on our to-do list. And then it just kind of died down for a few weeks. Was there anything left to play?
Well, Shinde, like on our offline discussions, I think you kind of nailed it. Like he had no other play on the chessboard, right? There's nobody saying, yeah, let's everybody continue to live here. Let's help them out. Let's fight back. Let's protest. There was no group that was advocating for that. There was, Akal Takht didn't really support it. It kind of died down out west too. You know, as far as us protesting in front of the embassies and whatnot, that was like a weekend thing.
Yeah, Dilji performed and forgot about everything.
Pretty much, right? So the steam was gone. He's in hiding. His health probably took an impact. His family's getting harassed. There's no play, really, unless he leaves and becomes like this external exiled person.
But I think if he leaves, that's even worse now, because now it's like, oh, he ran and he's...
It would undermine, exactly. It would undermine everything he has built up. At least he has a respect. Add him to the list of like political prisoners. He'll be on that poster at Nurgitan and Malton and downtown Toronto. Unfortunately, that's probably all that's going to last. But the silver lining is that he's left a void. Deep Singh left a void. He filled it. Now he's left a void. I'm sure there'll be some other charismatic young lawyer. I mean, person.
Has to be a white lawyer. The worst type of human being. He was a trained lawyer, but he wasn't practicing a lot.
It's all good. But somebody will come up and take that spot. It'll be a great, brilliant lawyer. And they'll move the stick a yard forward. And if that's all it takes and that's all they can do, that's all they can do, but it'll still move a yard forward. At some point, someone's got to give, man.
I don't know. When I saw this, I was pretty pessimistic about the whole thing early on. Like, you know, this really just shuts things down again, another 20 years of protesting and demanding and remember trying to do, you know, let's never forget what happened. But if that's the best we got out of it, then, you know, I was kind of like, that sucks, you know. And then obviously I look it back, you know, I always hold myself accountable to these things. It's like, well, I wasn't out here picking up a flight to India to go help out with this morcha or anything. So then it's kind of like, what's it going to take for us to get the change that we kind of want versus accepting that, you know, maybe the way we're going about things just isn't what's happening. So that's where my head kind of went, and I still don't have answers for that. So
I tell everybody in India too, just give us a Quebec type of solution and that's about it. Just more power over our little state.
At what point do they just say, look, yeah, here's the stuff you wanted in the announcement resolution?
Like, for both sides is usually always the best deal.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This stuff's just, it gets really hard talking about it because you're just like, you don't see the silver lining. Like you said, maybe it is the silver lining is that we moved the inchi tape forward 1 yard, right? But
I said, yeah, I didn't say inchi tape.
I said inchi tape. You said yardstick. But I don't know. You actually sound a little bit more optimistic about things than I do right now. So we'll leave it at that for thing. Any closing thoughts? I know you need to get back.
No, I don't. I take it back. Fuck these guys. They've broken my heart too many times. They're just setting me up for a game 7 loss.
Just keep hating them until they win.
They have to get past the first round. If they go past first round ever, I will forget about everything. But until then, fuck them all.
I'm telling you, this is your season. This is it. This is the time. I feel it. In the stars, they're all aligning.
Or they're definitely losing now.
No, I don't care shit like that. If anything, I bless your team for a Stanley Cup showing. If they get there, I want you to take me to the game with you.
Bubba D blessed it.
It's done. All right, boys. Y'all enjoy your night.
All right. I'm going to just watch highlights for the next hour or so.
Man, I feel so bad for you, but so good at the same time that you missed this. I don't know why it's giving me great joy. All right, Moy.
Peace. Later.